Good morning, everyone. We do want to praise him, but we'd like to get started on time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here at all times, and we thank you for putting in the heart of each one to be here and to praise you and to hear from you and to pray to you. And so lead us now by your Spirit, Lord, as we continue almost to the end of the Psalms, all into the Hallelujah Psalms and the Praising You Psalms, and it's just awesome. Lead us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are down to the last few Psalms, as you know, and today we're in Psalm 147, another Hallelujah Psalm, beginning with Praise the Lord, or Hallelujah, and ends with Praise the Lord, Hallelujah. So I wanted to just go back to the same old hymn we've been singing, and that's Praise to the Lord. Again, this song was written at the way back when. It was Joaquin Neander. He was born in 1650, so you think you're old. This is a little older. But praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is my health and salvation. So let us sing together, if we may. People said, Amen. Huh? As we read through Psalm 147, count the number of times you hear the word I or me, and count the number of times you hear he or him. And I'll give you a clue. The latter part of that, you'll probably lose count. The first part of it, I don't think you'll lose count too easily. Psalm 147, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Give praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the high mountains, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is his mercy, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them and causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Quite a psalm, isn't it? As we begin in the verse 1, praise the Lord. There's three things here that he says about it. Praise the Lord. It is good. It is pleasant. Praise is beautiful. So good, pleasant, and beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. That includes the church, that includes you, that includes me. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Now, just look at the star example for a minute here, if you can possibly get your mind around this. It's estimated now that there are 10 trillion trillion stars. That's 10 with 25 zeros after it. And some claim they found some new galaxies which have not been added to that number yet. But 25 zeros on it is enough for me, because that's beyond anything I can think of. So I ask you a question. If you counted, and he names them all. Now, let me ask you this. If you named them three names a second, how long would it take you to name all the stars? Too long, somebody said. 10 billion billion years. So the Lord is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He says, boom, they're all named. So you think he can remember your name? You think your problems are too big for him? His understanding is infinite. And yet, isn't there time to time you say, you kind of have a question about the Lord? What's he doing this for? What's he doing this in my life for right now? It doesn't make any sense. I wonder if he knows what he's doing.
I think he does.
I don't know what I'm doing, but he knows what he's doing. His understanding is infinite. I can't even think of finite, let alone infinite. He lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Almost every psalm we're reminded who takes care of the wicked. It is him. It is not you. It is not me. Yeah, we can protest. We can stomp and rant around and stuff, but he knows all of the wicked. And he knows what they're doing. And he knows, and he's allowing it. He's allowing some of the most wicked people in the world to live into their 90s, 80s, 90s, right? He doesn't necessarily take them out in their teenage years or whatever. Actually, the worst king they really had was Manasseh. He reigned 55 years, I think it was. He did turn to the Lord, though. God, it says he took him to Babylon. He took anybody else, but he took him to Babylon, and there he is in prison and in captivity, and he cries out to the Lord, and the Lord saves him. Isn't that great? And he actually came back and reigned in a much different manner for a time, I don't know how long. But he cast the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Now that's what we are doing, singing with our voices. But this is interesting. It says in a later psalm, sing, sing with the cymbal. Here it says, sing with the harp. So what does that mean? Well, music is singing, I guess is what it means. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the clouds, or who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth. Now, I've asked you this before. You probably don't remember it. At least I don't remember it. I have to look at my nose. How much rain falls every day on the earth? A lot. Yeah, that's right. 1.5 trillion with a T, tons. 1.5 trillion tons of water falls every day on the face of the earth. Oh, we got a water shortage. Well, it's every day that much falls. It may not fall on where you are. And if you're using all the water for thousands of miles around you, then you know you'll run out of water because it's not, you're upsetting the balance of where it's coming. But it's falling at a point, 1.5 trillion tons a day. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? How much water you could you produce today? Even with all your tears, right? But at any rate, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares the rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains, he gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. How much more important are you than a young raven? Well, you've got a soul. The raven doesn't have a soul. You're created in his image. The ravens aren't, nor any other animal. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. So nations who are counting your tanks or your missiles, he's not impressed with that. Takes no pleasure in your strongest muscle. That's your legs. Takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. So what does he take pleasure in? There's two things here we need to really remember. Those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. So how's your scale on fearing him and hoping in his mercy? That's what he takes pleasure in, the psalmist says. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, O Zion. That would include the church and the believers, I believe. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. We have that protection, don't we? Satan cannot get inside of you anymore. He can pound away on the outside, but he can't work on you from the inside. You're protected. And here he protects Jerusalem and their gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. Do you have peace today? I mean, you may be upset about different things, but compared to not having the Lord, you have all kinds of peace, don't you? At least it's available to you. Now, you may worry, but he makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He gives provision and protection for everyone to a degree, and particularly for his children. Provision and protection. Verse 15, he sends out his command to the earth. His words run very swiftly. The word of God, he spoke it. It was there. It is there. He gives snow like wool. He covers it. He scatters the frost like ashes. We don't see much frost out here. I mean, it feels cold when you're not, when you're used to 80 degrees and 40 feels cold. But I don't think any of you had to scrape your windshield with ice today and had your, in the old days when you had keys and it would freeze up, you know, you couldn't get the key into the thing because it filled with ice, you know. Those were, I don't want to think about those days. That's what, He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his winds to blow and the water to flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. And now, everything that Israel has ever received, we have plus. They received the gospel as well, but they didn't receive. I mean, they got the gospel, but they didn't really receive it, did they? They rejected it. But we have all of the history of Israel given to us, and we have the full gospel. Plus, we have the Holy Spirit that wasn't even available when other than on an individual basis when the scripture, these scriptures were written, anything before the day of Pentecost. And we got the whole counsel of God, which they didn't have. We got so much more. I cannot imagine we don't have scores more percentage of Christians today than we did back in the days the Bible was written. It doesn't seem like basically the percentage of Christians has gone up at all, very much. Still, the vast majority of the world does not know the Lord. So it just seems like it's a continual testing to see, do we love him or not? And our hearts are still, without him, basically desperately wicked. They're still wicked with him, but he overrules us in a way, I guess. But he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He gave them things which no other nation has received. He is not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. That's not so good. But the other nations don't have it. And we have today so many people who don't know him. They got it right here, but they won't read it, will they? But nevertheless, we praise the Lord. We say hallelujah, right? Now, how many I's and me's did you count? None. How many he's and him's did you count? A lot. That's a good answer. 31 is what I counted. I probably missed half of them. But it's kind of an unusual. Think of your praising the Lord. Do you sometimes get a lot of me's and I's in there? Now, it's good to say, I praise you, Lord. I don't mean you don't really say that, but where is the focus? Is it on him or is it on me? Or your prayers? Think about your prayers at times. How much of your prayers is focused on you and how much is focused on him? So here, all of it's focused on the Lord. So that's why we look at that, or I look at it, I say, what a beautiful psalm. Yeah, it's focused on him. Isn't that great? Well, Father, we thank you for all parts of your word. We thank you that you give us praise psalms, that it's all about you, and we just look at your magnificence, and we can't even understand much of it, but what we can understand, it's just overwhelming to us. And Lord, you have given us the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we want to do that this morning. We want to pray as you would lead us in this prayer by your Spirit, and praying on those things you put in our heart. And we know those things are the right things to pray for. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Let's pray. We've come to the end of the hour here, and I'm going to just close with this praise song, King of Kings. The refrain is where I think we should be. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. So let us sing this song.
There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the love.
Father, we do want to praise you, Lord, above all things. And Lord, you do heal the brokenhearted. You do care for the young ravens and how you have purchased us with your blood. You love us so much, Lord. Unbelievable. Lord, those who are here who have special prayer needs, Lord, some shared, mostly not shared, just pray that you know them all. I pray that there would be your will done. I especially lift up Yolanda's daughter, Lisa, and that emergency surgery this week and on that continuing foot problem. And Lord, would you touch her? Would you touch that ongoing neuropathy, Lord, and the difficulties there, Lord, and there are other difficulties in this group too, I know, but you know them all. I don't know them. And I pray there would not be a hindrance to what you want to do through us, Lord. But mostly you just want us to be yours, Lord. You want our hearts. You want our hearts even more than you want anything from us, Lord. You don't need anything from us, but out of love for you, that may we give you what you would have us to give. So bless and guide each one. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.